Saba Tahir's debut novel, An Ember in the Ashes, is a heart-wrenching read. It's set in a rich, high-fantasy world with echoes of ancient Rome, telling the story of a slave fighting for her family and a young soldier fighting for his freedom. The title of the book is An Ember in the Ashes. It is published by Razorbill, and we welcome Saba Tahir to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. What brought you to this particular story?
You know, Ember was inspired by a couple of things. The first is that I grew up in a very isolated town in the Mojave Desert, and I didn't feel like I fit in there. I was picked on. I watched my parents and my family deal with a lot of racism. So as a kid, I grew up feeling very powerless, very much like an outcast, as if I had no voice. So I turned to books to deal with this feeling, and that's really what established my love of fantasy, because, you know, in fantasy books, I could imagine that I wasn't this scared kid growing up in this small town. I could be brave. So as I grew older, I found my voice through writing. And in 2007, I decided, you know what, I want to write a book. And I didn't know what it would be about. I just knew it would be about people who felt like me as a kid, who felt, you know, like they didn't belong and they didn't have a voice. At the time, I was reading about some truly voiceless and powerless people because I was working as a copy editor at the Washington Post. I read about, you know, the Sudanese genocide and extrajudicial jailings all over the world. I read about child soldiers and war zones and what happens there. And all of those things combined with my childhood experiences combined to plant the seed for Ember.
So you tell us the story of a slave fighting for her family and a young soldier fighting for his freedom, neither obviously being free.
That's right. So Laya is a, you know, she lives with her grandparents and her brother. Her brother is taken from her by soldiers of the empire under which she lives, and he is accused of treason and thrown into prison. Her goal is to get him back, but the problem is she's not very courageous. To get him back, she's going to have to put her life at risk, which is something that she's never had to do before, and something that's going to require an enormous amount of courage from her. And Elias is a soldier of the empire, and all he really wants is to be free from this tyranny that he's being made to enforce. He is a student at a school called Blackcliff, which is sort of similar to a Spartan training school. He's been trained there for 14 years, and he wants to escape. But before he can, he's ordered to participate in a series of trials that will decide who the next emperor of this empire is. And so when his and Laya's paths cross, they realize that their fates are more connected than they might have thought, and that that their choices are going to have an impact on the future of the empire.
And when you talk about empire, there are certainly echoes of ancient Rome here.
Absolutely. I was actually very much inspired by ancient Rome. The naming conventions, as well as, you know, the system of social stratification, was especially inspired loosely by the Julio-Claudian era of ancient Rome.
And what do you think the advantages of that as a setting and what it allows you to do in the storytelling about these two main characters?
You know, ancient Rome, particularly when you get into sort of the monarchy or, you know, the empire and the dynastic issues that were going on at the time, there was so much court intrigue, and then there was so much backstabbing, and it was such a rich setting, and there were so many different types of people within the Roman Empire. It was a huge empire, so to sort of understand how, you know, the Romans managed to keep everyone in line, and then what started happening when everything began to fall apart, all of those things sort of give that great backdrop. At the same time, it's a fantasy. So what I love about it is that I don't really have to stay true to history because it's a fantastical world. It's a completely imagined world. So I can be inspired by ancient Rome without having to hew to what actually happened in ancient Rome.
And when it comes to the fantasy part of this, how comfortable were you on that ground?
I was really comfortable. As I said, I grew up with fantasy books.
Right.
I grew up reading Marion Zimmer Bradley and Terry Brooks and David Eddings and J.R.R. Tolkien. And fantasy, you know, that's my home when it comes to writing. I slip into that part of this world very easily. I had to sort of rein myself in a little bit with the fantasy and say, okay, no, you know, maybe no dragons in this one. So, you know, fantasy is my happy place. So
when you say rein in, I find that really interesting because you can go overboard because it would be a fantastical place. And you really, certainly as the author, can make anything happen.
You can. It's true. At the same time, when writing fantasy, it's really important that your world still have rules and rules that make sense within the context of our world. So, you know, if I have one particular type of magic, it has to have a source, it has to have a limit, it has to have, you know, rules surrounding it. Otherwise, the world itself does not make sense.
And those are rules that you define very early in the writing process for yourself?
You know, I wish, but they sort of got defined as I was writing. So, you know, I was thinking about some of the these more magical elements. In An Ember in the Ashes, it's not a heavy presence in the book, but there is some magic in the book. And, you know, I was sort of thinking about, okay, how can I make this work without it being something that completely takes over the story? I wanted it to be a character-driven story, not a magic-driven story, or not something where the characters can just turn to magic or fantasy to fix their problems, because that's not how the world works. So it did take some time to get that right, to get that balance right.
Saba Tahir's new novel is An Ember in the Ashes. It is published by Razorbill. Thank you so much for being with us, and best of luck with the new book.
Thank you very much.
Again, the title of the book is An Ember in the Ashes by Saba Tahir, published by Razorbill. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.